The people who walked in deep darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. That's the promise. That's the promise of faith. The Jewish faith, certainly, the faith of the characters that leap out of Scripture this time of year, the prophet Isaiah, Mary and Joseph, John the Baptist, and Jesus. The people who walked in deep darkness have seen a great light. That's the promise of the Christian faith as well, the incarnation, the imminence of the divine, the Word made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. The people who walked in deep darkness have seen a great light. The angels appear, the star shines in the sky, a baby is born that changes everything. That's the promise of Christmas. The whole earth shifts on its axis, and there is a return to light. A return to light. But I have to admit that this year, right now, it's a light I'm having trouble seeing. I'm still in the dark. I'm in the dark, doom-scrolling through more bad news on my phone at 2 a.m, tracking case counts and hospitalizations. I'm preoccupied with COVID protocols and rapid tests and camera angles for our live stream and how I'm going to gear myself up to preach to an empty sanctuary again. I'm navigating a wave of anxiety coming from everywhere I turn, including within myself. I'm holding my son as he cries when we break a promise and tell him that because of a COVID exposure, his grandpa won't be able to come for Christmas after all. I'm still in the dark. We have a difficult relationship with darkness, don't we? Darkness is the place of shadows and fears and monsters under the bed. Darkness is the unknown, it's the unseen. Darkness hides the bad guys lurking around corners. It's COVID, it's cancer, it's climate change, it's anything we can't control or contain. Darkness is dementia. Darkness is deadbeat dads and deceit and depression. Darkness is death. There are whole industries built around avoiding darkness. And I'm not talking about light bulbs here. I'm talking about the self-help shysters and the Instagram influencers and the prosperity gospelers and the tech companies with their metaverses of monetized toys to trick and tantalize. In these days of distraction and deflection, we can live in a world of perpetual manufactured light. At least that's what the commercials tell us. And this notion of darkness being the place where bad actors lurk has been picked up by the church as well. Only we use words like sin and Satan. Darkness is often framed as the absence of God or the failure of the people to do God's will. People prefer darkness because their works were evil. John 3:19. Evil thoughts are dark thinking. Luke 11:34. Open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Acts 26:18. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Ephesians 5:8. We have a difficult relationship with darkness. Even our church buildings are designed around the desire for light. Abbot Suger, the builder of the first Gothic cathedral in France, which would become the template for all Gothic cathedrals, was heavily influenced by a 5th century writing from Syria known as the Celestial Hierarchies, which contained what would become known as the Doctrine of Light and Illumination, a teaching that defined God as light. God as light. The more light you have, the closer you are to God. The theological claim has influenced church architecture for centuries, including here at Metropolitan with our high arches and our huge stained glass windows. And it's beautiful. It's not a bad thing to want light. But the trouble comes when we fall into binary thinking, when binary thinking sets in and we ascribe values to the terms we use. Light and sight, good. Dark and blind, bad. It makes for engaging poetry, but really challenging theology. And not just because of the inherent bias that gets baked in against people who cannot see or with darker skin, but also because of what happens when the so-called dark times come, and they do come into our lives. What happens when illness comes, or abuse, or financial stresses, or mental health challenges? What happens when a global pandemic hits and continues longer than anyone expected, and we feel stressed out and lonely and scared and separated from our cherished ones and our touchstones of normalcy? In our desire for more and more light, to feel comfortable and safe, our eyes have trouble adjusting when the lights get turned out. A dependence on light dulls our other senses. We lose resiliency and the ability to deal with things beyond our control. But worst of all, if we are told that light is good and dark is bad, when we enter into the times of darkness, we can feel like there is something wrong with us. Like we are to blame for the darkness that surrounds us or the darkness that's within us. Faith communities that lose the ability to deal with darkness set out an unattainable version of the spiritual life, where everyone is supposed to be happy all the time. This sunny ways approach to spirituality casually throws out platitudes like, God does not give us more than we can handle. With this mindset, the darkness we face is presented as a lack of faith. If only we could be like the biblical characters we read about this time of year. If only we could be like the shepherds, joyfully abandoning their worldly responsibilities. Or like Mary, giving birth seemingly without complaint in a stable when there was no room at the inn. Or Joseph, steadfast and righteous, regardless of circumstances. When we read the story of Jesus' birth at this time of year, we are obviously getting an idealized Christmas Carol version of what that night was like. Away in the manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I'm sorry, but I'm sure any of you who have given birth will likely have a very different story to tell. I was there when both my kids were born, and there was a lot of crying, and pain, and blood. And especially with our first son, who ended up having a complicated birth, it was really, really scary. I wonder what we lose when we strip the darkness out of Jesus' birth narrative. The fear of a young unwed woman, weary from a forced journey, giving birth for the first time without any support in unfamiliar and less than ideal circumstances. The confusion of Joseph about what to do and how to help and what would happen if something went wrong. The utter helplessness and vulnerability of Jesus pushed from warmth and safety into a cold world that would never fully accept him. If we focus on an idealized version of the story, it can be jarring when it doesn't match up to our own reality. Likewise, when we take an idealized version of faith, it can be equally jarring when life presents us with something that shakes us to our core. Faith is not Instagrammable. If we only seek to capture the ideal, it just ends up being fake. The reality is that faith is made up of both light and dark. One is not necessarily better or worse than the other. They are two halves of a whole. Within God's good and growing creation, there are natural rhythms to things. The sun rises and sets. The moon waxes and wanes. Spring follows winter. As the writer of Ecclesiastes says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance." In this life, there is joy and there is sorrow, and God is the God of both. With all due respect to the cathedral builders and the proponents of the doctrine of light and illumination, God does not just exist in the light. God is just as much the God of darkness as the God of light. In fact, it is in the shadowed places that some of the great mysteries of faith take place. The incarnation is birthed under the stars. The resurrection happens in a sealed tomb. God does not abandon us in the places of darkness. The real promise of faith, and the one we need to proclaim again and again, especially on this holy night, is that even when we walk in deep darkness, even when we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us. God is with us. When my son was a toddler, he used to get night terrors. I don't know if you know what they are, but they are episodes of screaming and intense fear and flailing while they are still asleep. They are terrible. My son would wail and wail. He was so scared. His body would go rigid and he would shake violently and he would go on and on and on. As a father, it was horrible. It was heartbreaking. I would pick him up in my arms and we'd sway back and forth, dancing in the dark, and I would hum and I would sing to him because I couldn't think of anything else to do. And those of you who know me well know that I never sing. I'm very, very self-conscious about it. But there in the darkness, I would sing to him. Do 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 do. Oh my child, you are so precious. To this world a light you'll be, though tonight we dance in darkness. Feel God's tender love through me. Oh, my child, you are so precious. To this world a light you'll be, though tonight we dance in darkness. Feel God's tender love through me. And in time, he would calm down. His body would soften. And he would fall asleep in my arms. It is significant, I think, that the very first words that were spoken after Jesus' birth were, "Do not be afraid." This was proclaimed by the angels to the shepherds. But do not be afraid, or some variation thereof, was Jesus' most often repeated phrase. When he taught the crowds on the mountains and on the plains, he said, "Do not be afraid." When he walked on water, "Do not be afraid." At the transfiguration, "Do not be afraid." Upon entering Jerusalem, "Do not be afraid." At the Last Supper, "Do not be afraid." Even at the tomb, "Do not be afraid." "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I am with you even to the end of the age. Do not be afraid." I don't know about you, but in these difficult days, this is the Jesus that I need right now. The Christ that embraces me in the dark night. The Holy One who holds me to his chest so I can feel the heartbeat of God. This is the great promise of our faith. In light and in dark, in joy and in sorrow, till sleep overtake us or death finally claim us, we do not need to be afraid. We do not need to be afraid. On this holy night, when we celebrate the incarnation, Christ sings in our ear, "You are loved. You are precious. I am with you. Do not be afraid. You are not alone. You are not alone."